When we don't see people, we can so think ourselves, if we're that person that seems isolated, that nobody cares. It's true, or is it just me? But we do care. And sometimes we don't pick the phone up, and sometimes we may forget, but it doesn't mean that we don't care. And so for each and every one of you, I trust that God will show you that the love that he has and the love that his church has for you. Now, this is what came into my mind through worship. When we was in San Francisco, Susan and I did a tour of Alcatraz, which is a maximum security prison. And it was a very interesting tour. And it was a place where allegedly nobody could escape. But apparently three people did. And during worship, I just saw that a picture of the world that we serve. And there's many, many people captive in places that they can't escape from. And in this maximum security prison was a wing called D Block. And D Block was solitary confinement. It was dark. It was dark. And can you imagine yourself in that dark place where all you have are these four walls, no one to speak to, no one to interact with, feeling lonely and isolated? Well, that's where the world is. And that's why it's so important that we sow seeds that will germinate and seeds that will bear fruit. That's why it was important to hear last week about the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Because I don't know about you, but I can't do it. But he that is in me is greater than he that is in the world, and he can do it through me. If I'm willing to stand and serve, if I'm willing to open that door, bind up the broken hearts, set the captives free. That's the ministry God's called you and I to. Just wanted to share that with you because this is real, guys. Our church life isn't just a holiday, is it? It's a lifestyle. I've been looking at a series and I've named it this, Come Follow Me. Come Follow Me, Jesus said. Come Follow Me. The Lord says, come follow me and I will make you. I will make you fishers of men. And I've extended that and said over the weeks, come follow me and I will make you. Last week, I said, or the week before, come follow me and I will make you people of prayer. And the key there is that we follow him. To follow him means to keep in step. And in my life, I've been out of step with God. I've been out of step with his spirit. And God says to me, Andrew, get in step. Come follow me my way, Yahweh, not your way. Do it the way that I've called you to do it. And this is an encouraging word. Is it okay today if you're blessed? Come on. Is it okay if you're blessed? Is it okay if you're challenged? Because when we're challenged, when we're squeezed, we see what comes out. Because the Bible says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And people say to me, Andrew, I know that you have this disability about reading and writing and the rest of it, but how do you manage to speak what you speak from the word? Because it's inside me. It can't come out unless it's in. And there's times where I've had disagreements with my loved ones. And I've said, I didn't mean that. And my loved one has said, but it was inside because it came out. The overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. You see, God's word is like a magnifying glass. It don't only illuminate what's inside. If we leave it there too long, it burns. We sung it today, let that fire, but let it be a holy fire. Come follow me and I will make you people of prayer. Last time we looked at the Lord's Prayer, it says, Our Father, Our Father, God. Unless we understand who we are in relationship to our Creator God, our eternal Father, we will not fully enter. We will not fully engage. We won't have a healthy relationship with him. Because if you don't know who Father God is, if you don't understand his heart, you may still look at him through the lens of the law instead of the lens of grace. That's why it's important for us to sometimes come back to the basics and say, Ah, Father, my Father, Daddy. This may seem basic stuff, and to many people it is. It is. But remember, we do have an enemy. His name's the devil. He steals. He deceives. You know, some months ago, he stole something from me. He stole the hope that I had. I honestly thought I had a brain tumor because my father died when I was 11 of a brain tumor and I had headaches and the devil stole my hope from me. God said to me, I have a plan and a purpose to prosper you. Why would he want me to have a brain tumor? 2 weeks later, I was convinced I had bowel cancer because of the symptoms that was happening and the information I was being received or receiving. You see, the devil's a liar. He comes to rob and he comes to steal. And we need to know that. Don't sound good news, does it? But if we don't know the truth can't set us free. He tempts and he masks around as an angel of light. And the Bible says he tries to devour. And when you look at that word devour, it's to eat fast. It's to gobble up. If you just imagine a piranha, they're ferocious, aren't they? But you know what? Even a piranha could only eat you one bite at a time. There's another word in the dictionary. If you look at it and you kind of get through some of the Greek stuff and the rest, you could articulate it like this. To devour is to drink down fast. Well, the only way that the devil can drink you down fast is to break you into small pieces so that it's palatable. Put you in the glass, stir you up and drink you down fast. Lest be aware that he's coming to rob and to steal. That's why we need to know the truth, because the truth will set us free. The devil wants to lock you up and put you in maximum D block. But Jesus came to shine the light. Yes? And what happens when you've been in the darkness for a long time? Suddenly the door is opened. You can't see. It's painful, isn't it? Well, that's what happens in life. When suddenly God shines his light upon us, it can seem painful. Do I have to forgive, Lord? Yes. Why? Because I forgave you. Do I have to walk forward? Yes, because if not, you're going backwards. Do I have to serve you? Yes, I love you. I want the best for you. That's why it's important to know our Father. And that's why it's good to go back to basics. Is this okay? If I get an emotional, that's okay too. You see, the Holy Spirit works on us in different ways. Some people shake, some people rattle, some people roll, I cry. And if you've been around me long enough, you will cry too. I had a meeting with Matt Eldridge the other day, and I was just talking to him like this, and he started to well up. And what's wrong, Matt? I don't know. You're hanging around me too long. See, God, when we say, Lord, soften my heart, that's exactly what he does. He gives you a heart for his kingdom, and he gives you a heart for the lost. He's given you a talent, friends. Let's use it. He devours. He tries to drink down fast. And we also have the world pulling and pushing us. We also have self, us. Some people, they come with low self-esteem and low self-image. Yes, it's basic, but very important. It's good to be reminded. Yes, it's good to be reminded. Who we are. Who are we? Well, I'm glad you asked. The Bible says, those that are in me, Christ Jesus. You are justified, sanctified, set apart. I told you this was good news. You're going from glory to glory. You're a royal priesthood. You've been adopted into his family. What does adoption mean? It means you are a child of the living God. So stop saying, I am fatherless, and start seeing God as your dad. You know, when you're in the playground, you hear kids say this, my dad is bigger than your dad. Well, my dad is bigger than their dad. Because my dad is the creator God. I may not have an earthly father, but I have a heavenly father. That's why I believe as a church, God has blessed us over these 10 years and he is going to bless us over the next 10 years. Why? Because he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. But we have an enemy that tries to rob and steal. He tries to take your joy and he tries to take your peace. Can I encourage us, church, stand your ground. Talk back and say, this far, no further. He that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. The Bible says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. How do you resist the devil? Well, it tells you in Scripture, it says, draw near to me. God says, you draw near to me, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. So as you draw near to him, you resist the devil and he flees from you. Yes, it's basic, but very important. Good to be reminded who we are. We are the redeemed, of the Lord. We are his children. Are you still with me? I need you to participate at times to keep me awake. As I said, didn't sleep till 2:30 this morning because my head's all over the place. Come follow me and I will make you men and women of prayer. Our Father who is in heaven. And so often we say it, I say it, but sometimes I don't have a concept of the reality of what that means. You see, when I was going across the ferry towards the rock, towards Alcatraz, I was in heaven, because that was hell. In Genesis 1:1 it says this, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." Now you've got to come to him by faith. Some may say, but how many days did he really do this? And I don't care how many days he took. He created. Someone asked a question to a Christian apologist from a university campus. They said, I really can't get my head around the fact that Jonah was swallowed by a big fish. That statement's hard to swallow, he says. Pardon the pun. And this guy turned around and said, look at your hand. God created that. Fish is nothing. So let's not worry about how many days. Let's get into our hearts that in the beginning God created. It says nothing that has been created was created apart from God. He spoke it into being. So God's going to make us people of prayer. But we need to understand that he is our Father and he's in heaven. And where he is, we're not at the moment. In Matthew 3, verse 3, it says, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. What was he saying there? It was prophesied in the Old Testament that there would be a forerunner. There would be a man that would proclaim the way. He would make a way for the one that was to come. And he was saying, repent, turn away from your old self and turn to the new king, because he's coming. The kingdom of heaven. To have a kingdom, you need to be a king. You need to have rule and authority. Yet Jesus came in humility, yet he still had that kingdom responsibility. The kingdom of heaven has come near. So in them days, he was saying, Jesus is amongst you. Heaven has come near. And sometimes we can forget that. Sometimes in life, we and those around us who are in church can be earthly minded. We can sometimes think that God is so heavenly in the distance that we can't relate to him. But he came to earth. It said God humbled himself. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever would believe in him would have life and life in all its fullness. The Bible says this, without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins. There had to be an atoning sacrifice. God came near. He came near, yes? And when he ascended back to heaven, what did he do? I'm sure you heard it last week. He sent his comforter. He sent the Holy Spirit. So God is still near. So during the times, and maybe it's just me and not you, but during the times of isolation, during the times where you may say, God, where are you in my situation? I'm sure Pippa at this moment may be saying, God, where are you in this situation? I am near you, Pip. Trust me. The plans I have for you is to prosper you and not to harm you. But this is basic, but we need to grab it afresh, I believe, as a church. God so loved you that he gave himself for you. In John 3:12, I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. We're not in heaven yet, are we? We're here on earth. But that's where God is. I want us to grab hold of our Father who's in heaven. But he's not isolated himself from you. He sent the Comforter to be near you. Come follow me, Jesus said. and I will make you. John 14, verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. This is Jesus speaking. So what I want to say to you today, if you feel burdened or troubled, listen to what God says. Do not let your hearts be troubled. It's all right for you to say that, God. You don't know what it's like to be persecuted. Actually, I do. You don't know what it's like to be spat on and flogged. Actually, I do. You don't know what it's like to be falsely accused. Actually, I've been there and I'm wearing the t-shirt. It says, Jesus was there. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where we're going. See, Jesus wants to remind you. I want to remind you as pastor of this church. We as eldership, we want to remind you that there's a heavenly place. And Christ has gone to prepare a room for you. And if he's gone to prepare a room for you, he'll come back for you. Stay in faith. Stay believing. Keep on straight street. Let the high come low and let the low come high and enable your feet to walk. Yes, you may stumble and fall, but we're like weebles. We wobble, but we shouldn't fall down. If we do fall down, God picks us up. Does he? Yes. Picks us up, dusts us off, winds us up again and says, get going. Used to be a toy in a cornflakes box when I was a kid. I told you I'm a strange guy. And they used to be wind-up toys, and you'd wind them up and the feet would shuffle along. You know what I'm talking about, you old people. You all had one. You wind it up and the feet would shuffle. And some of you young people that have revisited. That's what God does. He winds us up and he puts us back on straight street. Listen, if you stumble, it's okay. God knows, doesn't he? That's why it's good to take communion, because he says, leave your burdens at the cross. Forgive, accept forgiveness and move on. Is this okay? Good, then I'll get started. He's gone to prepare a place for you. And he turns around and he says this, you know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said, do we? We don't know the way. Now, if you've only just come into church, you might be like Thomas. You go, what is he talking about? How do I get there? Well, Jesus said this, I am. One of the biggest statements in the Bible. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody can come to the Father except through me. It's not by good works, it's by faith. So if you don't know the way to heaven, it's through Jesus Christ. And do you know what? The good news of the gospel is this, that all have sinned, all have fallen short of the glory, and all can come. So if you don't know the Lord today, it's my privilege to say today is the day of salvation. You can come to him. This heaven that we're talking about is for you. And if you do know where you're going, bring someone with you. That's where our prayer life comes in. Pray that you bring someone out of Alcatraz, off the rock, onto the solid rock, which is Christ Jesus. Christ in me. The Bible says the hope of glory. Philippians 3 verse 20. But our citizenship is in heaven and we eagerly await a saviour. For some reason I've underlined this. I'm going to go all the way up. Let's just read what God says. Oh, crumbs. Scripture is lengthy, isn't it? Philippians 3 to verse 120. Further, my brothers and sisters, you think I kid. Further, brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs. He don't hold back, does he, this Paul? Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. Talking about circumcision here. For it is we who are the circumcision. We who serve God by his Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh. You see, Paul is saying here, we don't put our confidence in the law, because we can't become righteous because of the law. We can only become righteous because of what Jesus Christ has done. Father in heaven, for it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by his Spirit, who boast in Christ, and who put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reasons for such confidence, if someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness, based on the law, faultless, he says. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ Jesus, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and the participation in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal as to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us then, who are mature, should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Let's not worry about what we haven't got. Let's deal with what we have got. Wherever you are, if you're a man or a woman of one talent, live up to that talent. Don't bury it, use it. Why? Because you have a heavenly perspective. God has given you a dwelling place for eternity. And some of us, we only think about it. But let's take people with us. Let's consider where we are now and work with what we have now, what we've already attained. Join together in following my example, he says. Brothers and sisters, just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. Find somebody that can mentor you. For as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, that must be his fault then, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is the stomach. Their glory is their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you men and women of prayer. Father in heaven. Basic stuff, church. I want you to grab hold of who your Father is and where he is and why he's there and that he is coming back. He's coming back for a victorious bride. That is you and me if we have faith in Christ Jesus. I remind you of this because the role that God has given me in this church is to equip you for works of service. For when the going gets tough, you need to stand up and you need to stand on his word. When the devil comes to rob and steal from you and accuse you of things, when he comes in to say, who do you think you are? You can't possibly do that because you think like this. You can tell him. What can you tell him? I'm glad you asked, that you are justified, sanctified, set apart, that you are not the finished article, that you're a work in progress, that you are a rough diamond and God's using the sandpaper of the Holy Spirit to rub the rough edges off. But Pastor, you don't know who I am. You don't know what I've done. God does. That's why he's chosen you. Because he says, I choose the foolish things to confound the wise. Never put yourself down if you're walking in the Spirit. Let's be a church that will grab hold of this afresh. Our Father, my Father, Daddy, who's in heaven, thank you that you're coming back for me. Father God, thank you that you have a place prepared for me. Father God, thank you that you give me the opportunity to take brothers and sisters with me. In Psalm 33, verse 13, it says this, from heaven the Lord looks down and he sees all mankind. We can have some debate about predestination. God has purposed that all mankind have the opportunity to turn to him. That's his purpose in life. That all, whoever comes, are not cast out. But you, God's called, and those of you that are in faith, you're his children. And we need to be reminded that he's in heaven. And he's coming back for a victorious church. That's you and me. Acts 1, verse 11. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Just to remind us that God is a God of his word. If he says he's going to come back for you, he won't leave you orphaned. He won't leave you on your own. He won't leave you without a father. He won't leave you without a home. You have a home, an earthly home, but you have a heavenly home. You have a heavenly home. And I think it's good to be reminded how much God loves us. Philippians 1, 21. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean faithful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose, Paul says? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I'm kind of not torn between the two. I want to stay here as long as possible. But maybe I'm not on the same journey as Paul. You see, he says this. He says, if I'm to stay living in the body, then this means fruitful labor. So I can say, God, I don't want to go home yet because there's some more laboring I can do. But Paul had that relationship. He really understood who Father God was. And he knew where heaven was and that it was a place where torment and trouble will be gone. That he'll receive a new body. That there'll be no pain and there'll be no suffering. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. You see, as Christians, we're in a win-win situation. If we live, it's Christ. If we die, it's gain. But so often, when we lose people in the Lord, we can see it as a devastation. I want to bring this because you will go through pain. You will lose loved ones far earlier than you expected to. Put it in this perspective. To live is Christ. Work, to die is gain. Why is it gain? Because when we really grasp an understanding of where heaven is and what heaven means, when we really grasp an understanding that Christ came and took the keys and unlocked the jail, He took us out of D block, which was dark and dingy, and he brought us out of darkness into light. When we really grasp that, we will rejoice at the funeral. When Chris goes to a funeral this week, he'll rejoice. If someone's died in the Lord, Father, thank you, they're in your arms. Yeah? So I'm equipping you, church. Those that have gone through that pain, I'm equipping you to see it in a new perspective. Father, heaven, awesome. Thank you, Lord. But for me, I want to stay in this tent a bit longer, Lord, so that I can serve you. It's honesty, isn't it? I have lots more to say, but I'm not going to. Our time is gone. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you love us. Father God, we thank you that you are our heavenly Father and that you're in heaven. We thank you, Lord, that you didn't stay in heaven, but you humbled yourself and you came to earth as a man, clothed in humility. Lord, you said, those that want to be first must be servant of all. Lord, you took off your outer garment and you knelt down before man and you washed their feet. You humbled yourself. You came as a king. And you served as a servant. Father God, we thank you that you're our Father. We thank you that when we follow you, you will make us into the men and women of prayer. We thank you, Lord, that you're in heaven and that you're coming back for us, your bride. Father God, we thank you that you've not left us as orphans, but you sent the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Father God, help us to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Forgive us, encourage us, enable us to see ourselves in the mirror the way that you see us. When the enemy comes to rob, when the enemy comes to steal, Lord, give us the strength to stand in the gap and say, no, I'm forgiven. I'm set free. I am justified, sanctified, set apart. I'm part of the royal priesthood, and I've been adopted into God's family. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me. Take authority above all, church. Remember that you are his children and God has given you gifts. Last week you would have heard about them, gifts of the Spirit. Father God, bless us, we pray, that we may be a blessing. Lord, before we go into a time of worship, thank you for this financial seed, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that this church is good soil. Father God, would you take this seed and sow it into the good soil? Would you water it by your word and bring forth a hundredfold increase? That we may take the talent that you've given us and put it to good use. We ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.